This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy Monday to you. It is a Reaction Monday because the NFL draft happened all weekend long. And you got nine new Texans, right, as of now. Before we get there, and he's gonna hit himself when I say this. Appreciation to DNO Model Leasing for bringing you another fantastic crosstalk between these two shows. oh, man. Let's get going. Get involved with the program by texting it to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. 713-572-4610. Also, you can catch us on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on YouTube, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. How do we feel about it? Just like, let's jump in. Overall kind of takeaways from the 2025 NFL selection meetings, otherwise known as the NFL draft, where you get nine, count them, nine new Texans, including a couple of Iowa State Cats, an offensive tackle, maybe guard, out of Minnesota, Ariante Ursary.
You can think of
as many Jalen's or Jaden's as you can
Jaden's
see.
As far as the eye can see.
Just a whole bunch of Jalen's.
We overpopulated with Jalen's,
yeah,
period.
Yeah.
Just all across sports.
We got Ecos and we got Jaden's and Jalen's all up and down. Nicknames are going to abound at NRG, or at least they have to, because otherwise I imagine it'll be a mess. But Lopez,
go to practice and yell out, Jay.
Oh, Lord.
See how many heads turn.
All you got to say is Jalen.
Exactly.
So what for you, Lopez, was a big takeaway from the three days of selecting that the Texans did?
The old sweeping takeaway, as you kind of digest this, it to me is we're still not exactly sure who's going to be doing what, but we know what they're going to be doing. They gave us a template to how they're going to approach offense. I really believe that. First of all, and we might dig into this a little bit more.
Sorry, text immediately came in. I appreciate that you guys are already getting involved and sending in heat. From the 832, overall draft grade, J.
J, they got a J. They got a J. I like that.
If you want to talk about a color, red.
Yeah, red.
Man.
Too. Yeah, a lot of red.
And some gold as well. Yeah. Those together.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you can't do that. Come on. What are you doing? We just getting started.
Hey, shout out to all my bloods out there.
They will pull
man.
Us off the air if you don't calm down. What is happening?
That came out of nowhere.
Hey, what?
And the Crips. Shout out to y'all, too.
Yeah, you better. You're covering yourself over there.
Shout out to everybody.
He almost did something he immediately regretted.
Ooh,
right,
yeah,
there.
Hey. Trying to have an answer for 1040.
Hey,
huh?
Shout out to all people.
Yeah, it's too late now, Figgy. Too late now. All right, so here's what I mean by we're still not exactly sure who, but we know what. If there was any doubt before, there shouldn't be any more. This is going to be an offense that power runs its butt off. They're good with the offensive line that they went with into the draft, by and large.
Oof.
They're good with it. That's number one, because obviously you can be a starter drafted in the second round, but I think there's probably a little more work to be done, obviously there. But they told us that. They also told us they're gonna run a lot of play action. You know, we talked about what CJ Stroud's gonna be doing. They're gonna throw the ball to backs out of the backfield. The big thing about their running back, Woody Marks, is big time two way player. Big time two way player.
Yeah, huge. Like, yeah. His pass catching ability is absolutely a big portion of this. I don't know. Did you have more that you wanted to go on that?
No, I'll just throw it out there and we can chop it up, man.
Yeah, one of the things that it felt like to me was, okay, so like Nick wanted you to know that he mean what he says when he says what he means,
yes,
right? The idea that they are going best player available, it did feel very much as though, or at the very least, that he's not drafting for need.
Yeah.
Because if you were coming into this draft, considering the way that this offensive line played last season, the ways in which you moved off of a couple of the mainstays on this offensive line, this offseason. And then the ways in which, let's be honest, you did probably about papering over, at least in my estimation, yeah. that is my assessment, not theirs, obviously, of your offensive line. I would have deemed it, and I did deem it mm-hmm. Likely that they would come into the draft and try and add more talent to that room. Even as they preached competition, I thought that that would be the way that they handled it.
Yeah.
Not really. Like, they got a guy in order to get some talent there, and Ariante Ursary, we can talk more about him, but I think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Even if he can be a little stiff, big, strong dude.
Big dude.
Big, strong dude, which honestly plays a little bit into the idea that maybe, just maybe, you could move him inside if need be, even mm-hmm. if he has not had experience doing anything other than really left tackle at the levels that he has played it. But they did that, right? They got a couple of wide receivers early in this. They went and got safeties and cornerbacks mm-hmm. to add to that depth, which I appreciate. However, it felt like they had already added to that depth. Yeah. When you talk about adding Ronald Darby and then bringing in C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a way that pushes Jimmy Ward into a depth position. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like, as an organization, as a staff, record label, and a crew, they decided, we want to get talented players. We want to get athletic players. Did you see the raw athletic scores mm-hmm. for these guys? Where, according to the raw athletic scores, it's a metric that, you know, is done just to kind of look at, put a basic number, overarching number, to see how athletic the players are mm-hmm. that you are selecting. They ranked 13th in a way that they were in the 30s in previous years. Like, they went to a place where they were like, we are just in the way. We want to get good players. They really did go and just get good players by their estimation. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate getting a better idea for what this organization is looking for.
That's what I'm saying. You got a really good idea of how this offense in particular is going to play. And then, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying, I just have a gut feeling that they're going to go after a wide receiver. Now, there were several factors that went into that. But not only did they go after a wide receiver, they went after two wide receivers and a running back. You know, they got C.J. Stroud some weapons. They valued weapons above the offensive line. Because we were sitting here talking about, they might draft two offensive linemen, you know.
In the first 100 is one of the things I was thinking. They got one in the entirety of in this draft.
That kind of show you that they're comfortable with the offensive line
I'm saying. We don't know the who, but we know the what. They're good with the offensive line. They got him. They got C.J. some weapons. They got a running back that can catch the ball, along with Joe Mixon, who can catch the ball.
Correct.
So they're going to have a lot of backs out of the backfield. They're going to be running some play action, because that's what you do with this power-type running team like they did in New England. Sorry, that's just the way it is. And, oh, by the way, another sort of hidden thing that they told us, they are putting huge, huge emphasis on special teams. Like, huge. They did it in the free agent signings. They did it with Jalen Knoll.
Yeah, Jalen Knoll. Hearing the young man talk about, like, what special teams means and the, you know, his ability to mm-hmm. impact it, it was like he was campaigning to be on special teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they clearly have an emphasis on that to support your
point. And Jalen Reed. Jalen Reed is a special teams guy.
Right.
So it was a good week. It's been a good offseason for Frank Ross. So that was my big takeaway. Like, okay, now we know what they're going to do. Now, there's still a few, you know, holes, a few gaps to fill in, and in terms of, you know, we talked about it just a second ago. Is Titus Howard going to be your left guard? I think so, and I think you think so as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's going to be who are going to be the tackles? I think we know who the tackles are going to be. It's going to be Cam Robinson and Trent Brown, at least to start. You know, and so they
Trent Brown, you say?
I think it'll be Trent Brown.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay,
I think it'll be Trent Brown.
We can talk more about that. From the 713 on the Jim Allen of the Texas Hammer text line. Okay, I didn't expect the second one. My bad. They said, R.I.P. Tank Dell. He's not dead. He's just no longer needed here.
Come on,
and I
man.
Feel like that's aggressive, but I do understand the underlying sentiment, which is,
well, he's not going to be here this season, I don't think.
Correct, right. But I think that this organization season. Is also not going to wait and assume that he's going to come back at full health, mm-hmm. nor are they going to assume that that John Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson are going to develop further into like those guys that they went and they got.
Yeah,
a
that
number.
Ship has sailed with those two.
Well, I don't know that the ship has sailed. I think that they're going to continue to hold to their watchword of competition, but they're willing to
if they play like they did last season in camp.
Well, sure. And I think
that, I just don't think so.
That is the if, and that then again puts it back on the plate of I was about to say Higgins. There's a lot of names in this wide receiver room right now, but on the plate of Mechie and Hutchinson. You guys, ain't no guarantees for you boys, mm-hmm. right? Like, ain't no, okay, these guys are young and you will get the benefit of the doubt off of that. Nah, it is show and prove time for those guys. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, because you have the likes
it's
of
competition.
Barrios, you have Watson in there. And then obviously the only guys that feel like they are settled and safe are Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, who both of them have had some injury stuff. I think you would probably be, I don't know. Let me ask it as a question. Mm-hmm. Are you more concerned with Nico Collins when it comes to injuries or Christian Kirk? Because I think I have one over the other.
I'm really not that concerned, but it would have to be Christian Kirk if I had to pick
one. I actually think it'd be Nico Collins.
Yeah.
And it feels like they have some level. I don't know if this is a complete answer because I don't know that I would be. I don't know. I would be far pressed to get out here and just be like, well, Jaden Higgins, rather. Sorry, Jaden.
There's one. There's going to be about, and I'm not picking on you because I'm going to do it too. There's going to be about 75 of those
today.
Yeah,
this is about to be the next dollar in the helmet situation as we raise money for charity, right? Jaden Higgins, that is, hey, that guy reminds me of somebody. What's his name? Nico Collins, right? Big, solid receiver, great catch radius, like good route runner. They went and got a dude who, I mean, and just because they took him 34 does not mean that he is inherently the guy that you line up on the other position of when you talk about starting wide receivers. But it seems like they might not be that opposed to that. And then also there's a level of redundancy with Nico Collins, which I don't think is a bad thing, right? It does offer you a little bit of insurance for injury. But then also Nico Collins is such a dynamic receiver that I think if you get another big body and play him on the opposite side, I don't think that it's something that's terrible, and I don't think that it's something that ends up being problematic. I think you can still get to a lot of the things that you would like to get to, and that's assuming that Jalen Noel isn't the one that you get in there in various points in time or what have you.
Keep in mind, play action. That ties in directly with the style that we're going to see more of because you can put two guys on the end. And the route running gets a lot easier when you're playing play action, even on the secondary. So, yeah, no, I think Higgins is going to be versatile enough to be on one end, Nico Collins on the other. We'll see about Noel and Christian Kirk, but they got the wide receiver, I thought, and they got the running back as well. So he's got weapons. We think the offensive line is going to be set. That's what they told us.
All right, so obviously this is not an answer that you can actually make without getting to camp, without getting to actually seeing the competition take place. Does Woody Marks put our guy Dare on a little bit of notice? Because he profiles kind of like a third down back in the ways that Dare has kind of felt like he has had that confidence in that in his role. And I understand there's the kicking aspect of it, and if that's the tiebreaker, then I also wonder how much does the youth then operate as a counter tiebreaker. But do you feel like that at all?
No, I think the big competition at running back is going to be between Dare and Damian Pierce. I think that's where the battle's going to be. They love Dare. They love what he can do on special teams. Keep in mind what they've done for Frank Ross this offseason and in the draft. They prioritize special teams and special teams athletes and specialists big time. So I think the big competition is going to be Dare and Damian Pierce.
Okay, yeah, that is interesting. All those guys have some perspective. And from the 713 guys, how did Nick not draft for need? Needed offensive lineman and free agency. They signed offensive lineman and free agency. Obvious need was wide receiver, backup lineman, and running back. All needs. Well, I mean, here's the dirty little secret, and it's not maybe not a secret. You're never going to a place where you're completely going outside of need. Like, I don't think anybody is just stacking a board based off these are purely the good players and that is all that I will take, right? If that was the case, you would not have the machinations of moving up and down or trading back in certain circumstances nearly as much. Like, that happens because, yes, there's a little bit consideration of where on your roster you need to add to. I think when we start talking about drafting for need, it is a shorthand for reaching for a player that might not be in that tier of players that are available just because they are at a position of need. I think that that's where that then speaks to. So we probably need to be clearer in our language, but I think that it's very evident that he did not do that specifically.
I'll put it very simply. You know, we always talk about lying season and all that, and people who've heard this show for years know I've always said this. The draft never lies. You can have lying season, but the draft never lies. It's always what they really believe. And frankly, to answer his question, why did they not draft for need? They didn't think they needed it. That the draft didn't lie. I mean, that's how we started this segment. They didn't think they needed that help at that high a priority on the offensive line. You might think so. I might think so. The texter might think so. But the draft didn't lie. They told us.
Yeah, there's a lot. So much. Somebody said Nico and Jaden, the Twin Towers lineup. I would like to see
it. I like that.
Shout out to Monique because I would like to see it. there's a lot more to talk about when it comes to this draft that I'm sure we're going to be talking about probably like damn near all week long as we continue to get our minds around what this Texans team will look like after they've acquired a lot of players in over the last weekend. But coming up next, let's get to another sports team that's happening that's in Houston, or at least right now in San Francisco, the Rockets. Unfortunately, they lose to a Jimmy Butler-less Warriors team. Definitely missed a golden opportunity. But how much are you reading into that particular loss in game three. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you on a Reaction Monday, reacting to the Texans and their NFL draft haul of sorts, breaking that down. And there's all sorts of things happening on the text line, the Jim Allen, the text hammer text line, 713-572-4610, like this from the 832. Put Christian Kirk out there, Jalen Knoll, Brevin Jordan, and then maybe Woody Marks or Mixon, and then call it the NASCAR package.
There we go. Yeah.
Just have dudes running up and down the field. I like what you're doing there. I like where our minds collectively are going with this Texans team. We'll get more into that as we continue through the program, but I did want to talk about another team that moves really fast, the Rockets, Houston Rockets, who are in the first round series against the Golden State Warriors, and unfortunately they've fallen to 2-1 playing out there in San Francisco on Saturday night, a 104-93 loss to the Warriors that in and of itself would not be as frustrating if you did not also look up and see that Jimmy Butler, who mm-hmm. is the thing for the Warriors that helped their team become more viable as a playoff team this year, seeing that they were struggling before they were able to acquire his services, seeing him be out with a gluteus contusion, if memory serves me, because my brain keeps going to booty bruise, mm-hmm. which I feel like is not the right way to say it over these airwaves.
He's butt hurt.
I definitely wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah.
But he was out for that game in game three, and it felt like it didn't matter, right? That felt like an opportunity that was very much missed by the Rockets, especially if Steph Curry is the singular engine of a Warriors team, and you can throw what should be one of the best defenses mm-hmm. at him exclusively, and he comes out of it with 36-9. And 7 rebounds, mind you, as well, which is a funny thing. But you lose that game. How much are you making of this particular game, especially when you consider, like, after a 38-point performance mm-hmm. From Jalen Green, now I'm just questioning myself every time I say the name Jalen.
Yeah.
He only gave you 9 of them things with 5 assists, but only 9 points in this one. Like, how much are you reading into this particular game?
A lot. I don't see how you can't. I mean, this is the postseason, man. I mean, this loss was not about, to me, the Warriors at all. It was about the Rockets.
Okay.
You know, the Rockets just fell short. Like you know, people often say, well, you can't do that, you know, but in the playoffs, you can't have two, not just one, but two of your players that you're counting on the most just not show up. Can't do that. I mean, the two players the Rockets counted on and needed the most, especially when you consider, you know, that Jimmy Butler is not on the other team, they've had two of the three games, they've come up short. You know, Jalen Green is 7-for-26 from the field in games 1 and 3. You can twist this any way you want, but it's about those two guys, especially Jalen Green. You know, it just, you know, after his big game in game two, we're like, okay, and I said it, I was guilty of it. Seems like he's kind of settled in. Well, he didn't. You know, he hadn't settled in. Jalen Green, if you don't have that superstar player, and we've talked about it, you know, the top 5, top 10 player that you can count on every game, if Jimmy Butler's not on the other side, you have to win that game and you have to show up.
I agree. Now, you talked about feeling like he had settled in game two. Mm-hmm. Something that we talked about headed into game three was there is an additional level of settling in that is probably going to be necessary when you talk about playing on the road in the postseason, because that is a different animal in and of itself. How much do you feel like that factored in? Does that give you any level of pause to getting to, you know, because I don't want us to like jump off the gym mm-hmm. just without considering all the other circumstances, including playing a road playoff game and understanding mm-hmm. the different levels of energy that's there, the different levels of excitement and emotions that's there. Do you feel like that factored in, or is that something that you're willing to sweep to the side?
Maybe I'm just being too harsh here. I think it's inexcusable. I really do. You can't win a series when the best, most important player on your team just doesn't show up.
Sure.
I mean, am I being too hard? I mean, because of the road and their first playoff series and everything else, I don't think so, but maybe I am. That was an inexcusable performance.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think that, especially with the way that this postseason has been situated for a long time for the Rockets, mm-hmm. as a barometer, as a little bit of a test to see what moves need to be made, what is the next step. I think a lot of people are immediately going to, especially seeing a Jalen Green real up and down, mm-hmm. having himself a nice game, but how much of that is like kind of what you expect as a pop from a role player as opposed to kind of the lead guy. Even Alperen Şengün, who was the mm-hmm. metronome in game one, has not had a similar quite game as we've continued. I know that people are kind of using this to go to the star player argument, and I do think that there is some fairness in there. But can I maybe sell you on the idea that there's a different acquisition that I think is going to be more important?
What's that?
As acquiring a offensive coach. Not a head coach. I'm not saying get rid of Ime Udoka. Please don't read me as that. But I think on his staff, I don't necessarily know who I point to on that staff. A youthful staff and a staff that has acquitted themselves fairly well, to be fair. But a youthful staff, I don't know who I point to that I go, they are driving this offensive, you know, this offensive attack in such a way where I know what to depend on. I know what they're trying to get to, and I know that they can get to it in any circumstance. Because you point to Jalen Green not having a good game. You point to, in that game in particular, you could see the Warriors trying to wall him off, you know, doing some really good things, funneling him to the big where they would have some help. Those are things that, you know, yes, that's good defense, but there's things that then you need to do as a counter move that I did not necessarily see. I could, and I was sitting, I had the good fortune of watching this game with B. Scott, with Ron Hughley, and I was sitting there, and as this game continues, I kept asking myself, what are they trying to get to?
Yes.
And way far too often, the answers were dissatisfying. And I know I saw someone even talking about this on the text line, right? You know, late in the game, you know, going, they said they're probably going down 3-1 tonight. Because they noticed towards the end of the game, down 7-8, what have you, the ball was going to Amen to take contested layups. And that's something where if you were able to scheme up your offense, understanding that there's limitations to this, but you should be able to find yourself in better circumstances as opposed to what we are trying to get. Not what we have fallen into, but what we are trying to get is Amen Thompson taking a contested layup.
Yeah. Look, I'm glad you brought that up because I jotted down three thoughts kind of as subplots to the Jalen Green thing, and one of them is exactly what you said, but the first one is longer term. It's you know, you have to get that superstar. We talked about that, right?
You do, but this is why I think it's bigger, is because you get a superstar, and how much of your offense, if you are planning on being a just very good team, is just going to be go for what you know. Yeah. Let's use Kevin Durant as the stand-in because we know there's some mutual interest or what have you. But whatever guy, even if it's like, the Phoenix Suns for some reason decided they wanted to come off Devin Booker, come on down, even if that's it. How much do you go here? The entire offense is going to be built out of you figuring out what the hell to do.
Well,
I don't think that's tenable.
That's the second thing I wrote down. Is offense Ime Udoka's kryptonite? That's what it is. You know, running an offense, finding a gotta have it kind of offensive set, being able to go from one to the other, you know, seamlessly in the midst of a big possession. It's his kryptonite. Is it his kryptonite? And the third thing, frankly, I'm very surprised about that I wrote down is, and that's Fred VanVleet. I mean, he's shooting 27%, man.
Yeah, it's been really problematic.
He shot 27% in 41 minutes. He's the guy that's supposed to be the calming influence, the leadership influence.
He got the experience.
He's got the experience, all that. You know, Jalen Green's going to get the brunt of it. I don't think Fred VanVleet should be off the hook at all here.
And I don't think he is. Yeah. The only thing that makes it tough is that the intangible things that he brings are necessary, and they kind of make it so that you at times need him on, you know, really not at times, often need him on the floor. But if he is not bringing enough in other ways where you talk about knocking down shots and things of that nature, it almost becomes like problematic. It almost becomes a net negative having him out there, even though he's helping you kind of organize your defense. He's helping you keep yourself calm and stay on track. When you're staying on track and you don't have very much to get to, it all just does not mesh. And so that was a very, very frustrating game to watch, on top of the idea that you seem to have a leg up. You seem to have an opportunity to do something, especially because the Warriors were hampered. You knew that there was going to be one particular place that they would go to. And to be fair to them, there was instances where you had good defense and better offense. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference in playing in the playoffs and playing against a player of that caliber. And so it was really, really tough to have that happen. Do you think that this then tells you all you need to know from the series? Or do you think there's still opportunities for this Rockets team to try and punch back? Because it's still 2-1.
It's still 2-1, and you still have an opportunity tonight, you know, to maybe right the ship a little bit and at least get, you know, a home court back and all that. Two things are going to be very important. Is Jimmy Butler playing tonight? That's number one. And is he going to be able to play? And the second thing is, that's two games where Jalen Green hasn't showed up. I mean, I don't know if you can overcome that. Two games where he was a negative?
Well, I mean, one of the things about Jalen Green is that we know historically he can be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So do you then do the thing where you just hope that when you get the good Jalen Green game, or maybe even the great Jalen Green game, that you make sure you win those ones and see if you can get 4 out of 7 of those? Is that the game that you're ultimately playing here to some degree? I don't know for certain, but it does seem like at the very least part of the mix that has to happen for you to get a win is that is getting – significantly more from Jalen Green. I don't know that 38 is necessary, but you got to get into the doubles at the double digits at the very, very least of what you were doing there. But yeah, there you go. The Rockets unfortunately fall. They'll play again tonight. They're back 8:30 p.m. Oh, sorry, 7:30 p.m. because it's 8:30 Eastern time. 7:30 is God's time. They'll be playing in San Francisco, and you'll be able to see that on TNT. But then also Space City Home Network. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was just, you know, they was playing on ABC. There's no Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins. And we can get back to that and we can stabilize all of this. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's ease our way back into a little bit of the draft as, you know, our question of the day ties into something that happened during the draft. The Patriots social media account did something that very much felt like an oh no moment. So with that being the case, what was the time that you said or did something that you immediately regretted? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next. I lied. Rockets Warriors tonight, 9 p.m. I will say, though, I take my responsibility. Don't get me wrong.
I'm going to let you off the hook.
But also, there's a number of publications that have different start times on this one.
Depending on where you go, tonight's game starts at 7, 7:30, 8, or 9.
Now, are they doing this because of the game, the previous game?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Try to cover all grounds?
No,
just in case?
I have no idea. But yeah. No, ultimately, you get it 9 because you basically, if you're starting on a weeknight, you got two windows. So you'll get your East Coast window and your West Coast window. And, of course, the Rockets are going to be in that West Coast window, especially playing in San Francisco. But, yeah, there you go. Rockets at 9. Let's get to the question of the day. Inspired by a social media post that was just... Mm-hmm. You had to know that they regretted it immediately. It didn't go down immediately. It stayed up for a little while. But what was a time that you said or did something that you immediately
explain the post again regretted. Because some of our listeners may not have been listening.
Correct. So the New England Patriots had pick number 257 in this year's NFL draft, which is the final pick of the draft. And the player that is selected there is frequently referred to as?
Mr. Irrelevant.
That is right. Brock Purdy notably was one time Mr. Irrelevant. And so, you know, it ends up being kind of a thing of sorts in a weird way where it's a position that, let's be frank, typically people don't actually care about. However, we found a way to make this something you care about. And of course, I imagine that any team is going to post about all their selections. But the final selection of this particular draft is a gentleman. He is a defensive back and his name is Kobe Minor. All right. Kobe Minor. That is pertinent here. Because the New England Patriots put up a graphic. I saw this on Twitter. I imagine it might have been elsewhere as well. But they have Kobe Minor in his Memphis jersey, right, where he played. And he is out there backpedaling. And they have Mr. Irrelevant all big on it. And, you know, it says New England Patriots, defensive back, all that's fine and good. Now, the caption that the Patriots decided to go with this says, a minor, in reference to Not Like Us, a song by Kendrick Lamar. It was a part of a... big beef that happened last year, if you didn't know. One of the cruxes of the beef was claiming that a fellow recording artist, Drake, was some level of, can I say this on air?
Yeah.
Some level of pedophile?
Mm-hmm.
And so the
PDF.
Idea. Yes, yeah. Yes. And so with that being the case, I feel like that's an association that you didn't want to make in that moment. Yeah. Not for the Patriots in general, but then also, that sucks for that dude in particular, doesn't it? Like, I am Mr.
I've seen that. And, oh, wait, I'm excited. No, I'm not excited at all. No, I'm not.
No.
No, I'm not.
I was like, that is the time where you don't need the pop culture reference.
And just imagine, I'm sure he got teased as a kid with that name anyway.
Yes.
Like, oh, are you a minor or all that stuff?
Yeah.
It's probably worse since that song came out.
So decisions you immediately regretted.
Yes.
Another one happened in Atlanta. The son of the defensive coordinator, is his name Jax Ulbrich?
Yes, it is.
Prank called Shedeur Sanders and told, you know, and acting as if he was getting drafted, which, by the way, that's just the dumbest thing ever. Something that you immediately regretted. For me, both of them, I kind of feel, you know, a little bit, not vindicated, but understandable Both of them happened when I was like in high school. So you're dumb in high school, right? Everybody's dumb in high school. The first one I've mentioned on this show before, I had a buddy whose father owned or managed a creamery, like ice cream, milk, eggs, all that stuff. So we went in there. He had the key. And we went in there, got about 10 dozen eggs, and started driving around, cruising around, tossing eggs at various things.
Mm.
And some idiot.
Can't do that in 2025.
No, you can't. But some idiot in the front seat, his name was Raymond Castillo.
What? What is up with y'all just putting people's full governments out on blast here? That's crazy.
Started tossing at cars going in the same direction as we were.
Can't do that.
Wow.
And he tossed a few at one car. Next thing we heard was a couple of gunshots. And
correct. Yeah. Look, that's generally something that should be in the back of your mind, mm-hmm. as you never know what people are toting with them, and mm-hmm. so act accordingly. But especially on the road, like when people are driving, there's just a level of irritability that is a different level than in other circumstances. So yeah, that is wild.
That was one. We ended up spending the night in our car until about 3 a.m. In an alley behind a movie theater, making sure they were gone. Just sitting there talking BSing the whole time. And then the other one is kind of similar to Seth's. I was out, I think I was already in college, but I was back at home and had some beers with some buddies watching Monday Night Football. I remember it very distinctly. And I got home and my dad was up and waited for me. And I did that stupid, you know, as you're coming of age type thing where he said something and I don't even remember what I said, but I kind of smarted off and chested up to him.
Wait, you thought you was too big?
Yeah, I kind of put my chest out a little bit. Yeah, that didn't take. That didn't last. He was still the boss.
That's right. And I always, I guess I don't envy the fathers in particular that have that moment with, I imagine, their sons in particular.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, no, I have to, like, you.
Now I got to kick your ass.
I got to let you know. Someone is still the man around these parts. And let me tell you, it's not you, brother.
A decision you immediately regret.
It is not you. From the 281 on the text line, they said, got in an argument with a girlfriend and dropped, no wonder everyone you know was an alcoholic, on her. Bad time. Oh, bad choice at the time, but she was awful, so it worked out. Okay, that's not too bad on the backside. But yeah, man, there's sometimes you just let out that thought that you should have just left as a thought.
Yep.
That is not a good one. For me, one of the ones that comes to mind, just it happened in middle school, and it's just, you know, I try to view myself as a relatively moral person to try mm-hmm. and do the right thing. And so, you know, middle school, people be fine sometimes. It's mm-hmm. just the nature of putting a whole bunch of kids in the same place, and, you know, sometimes things happen. So at one point, I called myself being a good person where folks were on, you know, mm-hmm. somebody decided they was fighting, and I was like, nah, y'all should not be doing this. So I got in there and I tried to break up the fight.
Oh man,
don't do that.
And then you get the teacher that comes through, or the, you know, and hey, all y'all come on. Like, I was breaking up. I was trying to stop that. Me and you are on the same team.
Hey, that's
lady.
Rule number one, man.
Me
that's
and
rule
you.
Rule number one.
Your name should have been Bennett.
And it started to be after I learned because I want this noted. Multiple people also testified and verified to the fact that I wasn't no problem.
You get in trouble?
I was trying to. Yes, I got in school suspension for that.
Oh, man.
For trying to stop a fight. And I was like, let that be the last time I step between somebody else's business. Like that became, I remember that to my core. I remember sitting in school suspension, looking at this nonsense and being like, all right, I have learned my lesson fully. Don't call me for, don't expect me to do nothing.
Yeah, you was a good kid, man.
I was trying.
There was no way in hell I'm stepping in between anybody. I was not even girls.
I was trying to be a good human being, and they went ahead and punished me out of it. And I was like, okay, y'all got it.
It's a cold world, man.
That's right.
It's a cold world.
From the 346, instant regret, back in the day, 610 website used to have the babe of the day. Sent the babe of the day pick to the head of HR instead of their coworker. Oh, no.
And HR was a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. That is tough.
Man, so mine was, I ain't going to say who it was or anything, but we were out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I saw her father, who was married to her mother at the time, mm-hmm. but they was going through some things. And he walked into the restaurant with another woman.
Oh
no!
He was in there, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, I better not say nothing because I know she gonna go and call her mom.
Yeah.
And what do I do? hey, is that your dad?
No.
Right there?
No.
And what did she do? Call her mom.
Call her mother.
Right. I looked up. Looked down at my food, looked up, her mom was right there.
Oh, wow.
She got there quick.
She got there so fast.
Oh, my God.
And it was a big scene.
Oh, a big, like, a big, a legit scene.
Yes.
And you couldn't even go nowhere because you was part of the party.
I was eating.
I was going to leave my meal.
I ain't about to leave my food.
Dinner and a show, apparently, is what,
like,
you got.
I'm like, oh, still to this day, I'm like, man, I shouldn't have said nothing.
So apparently what we're learning.
His whole spot.
What we're learning and the lesson that myself and Figgy definitely learned is don't try and be a good Samaritan, apparently.
I was just like, hey, that's your dad right there?
Yes, and, it is.
Is with another woman?
That is not my mom.
Yep. And she thought it was kind of funny. Let me tell her mom. And I was just like, no, do not do that. She is not going to think it's funny. And of course, she did not think it was funny. And it was a big scene up there, man. Yeah.
They say you was just being messy. Some more texts that came in. Growing up, or actually this is on the YouTube page. Shout out Joseph. Growing up, I knew better than chesting up to my dad while he was alive. He was a master level jujitsu black belt and taught army.
Hey, you are a fool.
You better not have had that
all
moment.
All due respect.
But a lot of kids do that, right about high school age.
It is a rite of passage. Yeah. I
might be the only kid. I never.
You never tried your pops.
Nope. Yeah.
Wow. Nope.
We always been good money anyway.
Yeah.
But when he yell at you, this is known in the family. When Eddie yell at you, mm-hmm. you wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what you did. Like, my mama used to always yell for the hell of it. Where it just kind of go out of one ear through the other.
That is.
But when Eddie yell at you, you
knew what time it was.
You
landed.
You messed up.
It stuck with you.
Yes.
That is my favorite subsection of the immediately knew that you were wrong, or like the F around and find out, is the time that you tried your pops.
Yeah.
Is always one of the very fun ones. Sean said he muttered SOB to his old man one time.
Oh, Lord.
First and last time he ever cussed at his pops directly. Woke up on the floor minutes later. Oh, wow. Very good. From the 281, during boot camp, there was a Filipino drill sergeant with a very thick accent. He started yelling at us, and I could not understand him and started laughing. Oh, no.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no, because them drill sergeants get off on trying to give me a reason. That is what they, like, their name should be Sergeant Give Me a Reason, because that's what they are on. Keep sending those in right here.
I had a regret on, I think I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess everybody got in trouble where they were we had to eat lunch quietly.
Yeah.
And somebody did something funny and I laughed. And this gym teacher was like, Gilliard, something funny? And I'm like, I was like, yeah.
Yes. Otherwise, I would not be laughing.
Like, you ain't going outside. I had no recess for a whole week.
He took away yard privileges. That's
crazy. I was being honest. I'm like, something was funny.
Yes, it was. It was.
And what did you learn?
Yep.
Next time,
lie. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. from the 713, I regret the Texans and Jack Easterby.
Yeah, fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. All right, keep sending those in on the text line. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Obviously, the draft wrapped up, so a lot of NFL things happening this weekend. And, of course, we'd be remiss if we did not talk about the story of the draft. What the hell happened there with Shedeur Sanders? We'll do that next.